Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come before you. We pray, O God, that you will have our hearts and minds open and receptive as we look at your word, and help us, O God, to see what you have to say to us. I pray, O Lord, that our hearts and minds are open and receptive to your speaking, helping us to see your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today was found in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Let us stand as we read this portion of scripture. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see here that Elizabeth is praising that Mary obeyed Gabriel, that Mary is not only doing God's will, but was willing to do it without hesitation and without a lot of questioning. The only question she had was, "How can this be, because I do not know any man?" And Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be with child, and this child will be known as the Son of God or the Son of Man, because it's God incarnate coming in the flesh as human being and living amongst us to show the perfect will and the perfect way in which to live without sin. And without sin, he led and lived a perfect life. And in all of the life of Jesus, we find he was obedient to God the Father. He was obedient, and he only spoke what God the Father told him to speak. He only did what God the Father told him what to do. And so as we look at that, and last Sunday we talked a little bit about a obituary I'd seen. Now, yesterday I attended Gilbert's funeral over in Winoska, and Gilbert, if you read his obituary, it says that he and his wife both enjoyed doing much church work and working in the church. The man I was telling you about last week confirmed today what is said on his obituary. Today there was another obituary in the paper. And in that paper, it said that this lady passed away, and they were going to celebrate her life, and I think it's down in New Orleans or Arkansas or someplace, and they were going to scatter her ashes out over the water, but she was going to have the celebration of life in the barn grill of that town. And it makes you wonder, and it makes you very sad to think of how people around us do not take any consensus or any thought of eternity. And yet we know that Gilbert, he liked to not only visit, but he wanted to talk about eternity and the things waiting for him after this world. He had put his treasure in heaven. There's one from a week ago that I was telling you about. I'm not going to read his name, but I'll read a few passages in it. It says, "So the old man went out with a bang. Rest assured, his sarcasm and the use of four-letter words will be truly missed." Why would that be missed? If we are filled with the Spirit of God, we don't have any of those things. And today we want to talk a little bit about being filled with the Spirit of God. So it goes on and it says, "A celebration of his life will be held at 3 p.m. Friday and at the Eagles Club of this town that he was at." No thought of eternity. No thought of what awaits that soul after it leaves the body. No thought of what God gave us, and God created man in his own image, and yet they think nothing about it. And then it goes on and it says, this man, he loved to ride his motorcycle. There's nothing wrong with riding motorcycles, I guess. I'm not a big motorcycle fan, but some people are. Are you? No? Okay. And this one would fit you, though, Russell. And go cruising around on his slingshot, you know. Made by Polaris. It doesn't say that, though. But anyhow, so we see that. And go kayaking and canoeing and cheering on his high school team. He was well known for his home butchering and sausage making. And he was very sociable, and he loved to visit friends and neighbors and family friends. And you can imagine with what he started out at the top of what kind of visits those probably were. And we want to look a little bit at Mary going to see Elizabeth. And as she goes to see Elizabeth, it says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I think most of us would say, I have Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, the Spirit of God lives in me. And that is true. The Spirit of God lives in us, and it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can say Jesus came in the flesh. He lived in the flesh. He died on the cross. He was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and is making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit gives us the right to say that. And Scripture tells us that if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can profess Christ coming in the flesh. Yet, many people stop there and they say, we don't want to know anymore. So I ask the question then, am I on? Is my mic on, Bjorn? Okay. I asked the question of this. How many, I'll talk to the women first, and the men can kind of include themselves. How many of you women love to wear necklaces? Most people do. And how about men? There's some men that wear them. Okay. You women, would you wear a necklace if it had an electric chair on it? How many would do that? Nobody. We wouldn't want to do it. It had a chair hanging on it, and it had the straps and everything showing an electric chair. That is a horrendous death, and we wouldn't want to wear that showing, I believe in this death. I want people to be put in an electric chair. How many men would wear something like that? Not many, if any. Now, how many women wear necklaces even once in a while, with a cross on it. How many men? Some men do too. I know you do, even if you won't admit it sometimes. And maybe you don't. That cross, if you look at it, was a terrible crucifixion of death. That same cross that Jesus died on was one of the worst, horrendous deaths a person could have. But through the glory of God, it becomes salvation. And why do we wear them? Because we want people to see what our Lord and Savior, He died on that cross for me. I want to let the world know that that cross He died on also is the cross in which I come to, and I confess and repent of my sins, and I ask Him then to help me live for Him and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As it tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we come to the foot of the cross. There is room for one more at that foot of the cross in which we can praise God and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. What a wonderful, wonderful message that God turned this horrendous death into glory. And it tells us in Corinthians, it says, God will take the foolish things of life and make them wonderful. And to the Jew who rejected Jesus Christ, and to the Greek who wants only wisdom, it's foolishness. And God says, I will take the foolishness of the world, and I will take and use it in such a way that even the wise of the world are confounded, that they don't realize what I'm doing because they don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So are we willing, and do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Yes. I think most of us would say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we want, first of all, to make sure we have repented of our sin, that we have Christ living in us, and then we want to be able to follow Him. And in following Him, we have to do a few things in our own self. God, Jesus says, the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, for they tell of me. And if we are not willing to search the Scriptures, how can we expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can we expect God to give us something that we don't know anything about? And so God wants us to be not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but that we would take and learn as we read and study the Scripture. And it tells us that we should do that. If we're to look just over a couple chapters into Luke chapter 4, it would tell us very plainly that it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, He returned from Jordan, and He was led out to the wilderness. But He was filled with the Holy Spirit from God because He did God's work. And He was tempted 3 times. And He told Satan, get behind me. It is written, you shall live by every word of God, and not by bread alone, but by the word of God. And what flows out of your mouth comes from your heart. And as if we were to go into chapter 4, we would see these 3 temptations that Jesus had, and yet He stuck to the Word of God. Do we know the Word of God good enough that we can do that when somebody takes and wants to degrade us or to have an argument with us about something, or a discussion, maybe not an argument, but a discussion about something because they don't feel you need Christ in you, and they don't feel that they have to obey what the Lord says. And so you tell them, anyone that's carnal-minded will not get into heaven. And it tells us that in Romans so very plainly, and also in Corinthians, that the carnal mind is enmity against God, and therefore, because it's in enmity against God, it cannot please him. But we have to have our heart and our mind, our complete self, turned over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can go forward into other portions of Scripture. And I would like to turn to Romans chapter 8. It tells us right there, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're letting the Spirit of God have control of your heart. You're saying, Lord Jesus, I am willing to give you everything. Think of the missionaries and think of the apostles and all of them. They walked away from their nets. They were fishermen. They walked away immediately and followed God or followed Christ, and they became fishers of men. And they became the ones that started the Christian church. And they're the ones that brought to the Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Jews rejected it. And because the Jews rejected it, it was given to the Gentiles, and it tells us that the Gentiles accepted it gladly. And in that gladly accepting it, many Jews became jealous and wanted to accept it also. Yet we see at Pentecost that 3,000 were saved when Peter preached to them, but many of them weren't, because they tried to explain it away. Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Keep your focus on me. Look straight ahead. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of God's righteousness, and don't let the things of the world take precedence over that, because if you do, it becomes idolatry. And in idolatry, you will find you slip away from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you know, even though we're in a human flesh, and a human flesh is what Satan is working through, and Satan is doing everything he can to get us to deny God and to deny anything that God has done, and he's trying to get us not to step out of our comfort zone and to do God's will. You know, quite an interesting fact yesterday at the funeral, and I visited with several different people there. I, as many of you know, I have a tendency when I fly or travel, I carry a lot of tracts with me. And yesterday, I happened to have 5 tracts, and I talked to some different people. And when I left, I had given away all those tracts. Not necessarily because it was a funeral, but because they wanted to see what the Word of God said. They seen those tracts, and they read a little bit on them, and they says, do you mind if I have this? And I said, you can have it. I want to look this up in the Bible, and I want to look at it some more. What a wonderful feeling and a wonderful blessing to know that God touches our heart and our soul in many, many different ways. And in that, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us the words to speak. God will give us the manner in which to speak them, and he will help us that we can proclaim his holy word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we would read, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not, Paul says. We can't do that. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You have given your life to Christ. You are not owned by yourself. God owns you. God created you. And in this, he wants us to know that we have the temple of the Holy Spirit living in us. And Jesus says, we will come and make our abode with you. And as we make that abode with you, we want to have you not only living for Christ, but doing all that we can to bring others into the kingdom. You are bought with a price. Do not become slaves of man, or do not turn to the ways of the world, but make sure we do God's will. Let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. In plain words, don't try and figure out why God called you and not somebody else. Be thankful that God called you and that he can use you in whatever way he wants to use you. Be willing to be used, and the Holy Spirit will fill you and will help you to live for him day by day. And then if we look over into Ephesians chapter 4, we find that it says this, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So as we live for the Lord, if we take our eyes off of God and off of Christ, and we start looking at the world, and remember when Peter walked on the water, he was looking at Jesus, he walked on the water, and he looked and seen the boisterous waves coming at him, and he started to sink because he took his eyes off of eternity. He took his eyes off of the one that could give him the faith and have him filled with the Spirit to the point that he could do what God wanted him to do. And Jesus then had to lift him and save him. He says, Lord, save me. I am sinking. And we have to say the same thing so many times because of hard times that comes upon our lives. And we can't stand it by ourselves. We take our eyes off of Christ. So we find that. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created to godliness in true righteousness and holiness. And then it goes on and it tells us to put away lying and all of these other things that are worldly, and that we should remember that we are to redeem the time because the days are short. We are to redeem the time, and that we should be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, as many of them were accused of doing. We can go into Colossians, and again, we find the same thing there. We find that God is willing to live and work with us, and as we want the Holy Spirit to fill us, he will do that. Jesus said, if you're called before magistrates and before judges in my account, do not worry what you're going to speak. I will give you the words to speak. Keep your heart and your mind stayed on him, and let the word of Christ dwell in us richly then, that we can serve him in all ways. That when Satan comes and starts tempting us, we can say, get behind me, Satan. I am a child of the living God. And as a child of the living God, Satan, you have no right to come and tempt me. You have no right to hinder me. And Lord God, help me to draw closer and closer to you day by day. That as I draw closer to you and you draw closer to me, that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us because he can't stand the presence of God. And we can go on and on, and our time will probably run out here, but we can know that in Colossians it tells us, but you yourselves are to put off all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy language out of the mouth, because this is the old Adam. And as we put those things off, we put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created us, which is God himself. He created us so that he could have a relationship with us and he could have fellowship with us as we serve him day by day. And the fall of Adam and Eve made Satan to try and take over our fleshly person or our fleshly deeds. And Satan has tried ever since to destroy what God has made. And yet God says, I will destroy Satan and I will put to death and I will overcome death. And in eternity, there is no death. In eternity, all the former things will be passed away. Just think of the person that has died in the Lord. How precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know and to remember. And when Satan comes knocking at our door, remember, as Dwight Moody used to say, I send Jesus to open the door. I send Jesus there and let him open the door, and Satan flees when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. We can find that whatever we do in word and deed, we should do it to the Lord with our whole heart and our whole body, because we are filled with the Spirit, and being filled with that Spirit, we live for him day by day. And with that, I'm going to have to close down, I guess. Not that I want to. I could keep on for another half hour or so, but I won't do it. But I want you to know, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, give your heart and your life to him first. Study the Word. Be obedient to what it says. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone and to speak the words that God gives you to speak to those round about you. And you will find God will continue to bless you and not only to bless you, but he will help you to do his will in all things. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with us now. Watch over us and keep us. Help us to serve you. And as we go forward from this place, we will not only be filled with the Spirit, but we will be willing to go and do and speak as you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us turn to 157.
After we have changed that to 193.
193, okay.